welcome to the Planning and Community Development Committee on November 15th, 2021. And welcome to my fellow council members, Verna Steele and Thomas McLeod. And I'm Kathy Hogarty, the chair. And the first request that I have is that there's an item that that I would like to add to the agenda. And I would like Rachel to maybe tell us more succinctly what the topic of that item is going to be. Not to put you on the spot, Rachel, I should have asked you that, but it has to do, okay, she's ready.
Sorry, it's fine. I just, lots of things popping up on my computer all at once. So so for the record, Rachel Bianchi, Deputy City Administrator, thank you, Councilmember Hogarty. I did ask the chair of the committee to that we could amend the agenda to talk about the county's Health Through Housing program, this ongoing conversation that we've had over the past few months, and I received a call recently from the county that I would like to talk with you about and just get some committee direction moving forward.
So I would like to add that. Well, my suggestion is that we add it as item C, and is there any comments from you guys, or is that okay? All right, so consensus, we've got head nods. So it is now item C, and for the minutes, something like county health or housing item, or what? How I'm saying latitude as far as Laurel, how you want to title that. So, okay, so now we're on to item A, which is an ordinance on the multifamily residential property tax exemption. So remember, we had four. We decided to do different parts to this, and this is part one. And Brandon is going to talk to us about that.
Hello, for the record, Brandon Miles, business relations manager. Derek and I are working on this together. He is on vacation, so I'm going to cover for this. What is, if you remember, a couple weeks ago at the last committee meeting, we provided a briefing on the multifamily tax exemption. The direction that we got from the committee was in support, asked us to add one item related to Tukwila South, which we've included as a step three between step two and step four. Staff's original step three now became step four. The first item that we wanted to, the first thing for us to take on was reopening of the application process for the South Central District. So included in your packet is a draft ordinance, for the South Central District. There's two changes. It is our ordinance that we already have in place within the TMC. What we've done is we've extended the application date to run through the December 31st, 2022. And then we've also clarified one of the criteria and stating that this is that the development must be all ages housing, and because we want to encourage workforce housing. This would go to next Monday's COW meeting for a discussion by the four council, with adoption in early December scheduled to go with the city council. I'm happy to answer any questions the committee might have, but I believe that this reflects the discussion that we had 2 weeks ago.
All right. Thank you, Brandon. Verna, I'll start with you. Questions, comments?
I don't have any questions or comments. I think the change is good. The memoranda, the revision to the ordinance looks fine to me. So I don't have any questions. I'm fine with this going to the COW next week. Thanks.
Thank you, Verna. Tom, questions?
I do have a couple of questions. Brandon, on page three, we're listing the people that have already utilized the MFTE. Marvell and Holden. Is the person wanting to do the South Center District project the same developer as those two, or one of those two?
Yes, it's Alliance who did Holden and Marvell.
Okay, so they did it twice already. They want to do it again. Okay. Second, I want to ask, when would be the timeline for Tukwila South? These other ones have timelines associated with them. And number three doesn't.
So it would be, we would start that, it would be first, second quarter of 2022.
Quarter one or two. Okay. And then my other question on the map that's on page 7, when you create the boundary for the multifamily tax exemptions, just out of curiosity, how do you decide that it goes right in the middle between Andover Park East and West versus one of those streets being the boundary?
So that what you're seeing is the so if you remember, the South Central District has various sub areas. There's the transit oriented development, there's the retail, there's the pond, there's the workforce, there's the essentially what is the mall. What that shaded area is the transit oriented development area that is located west of the Green River. So we essentially just adopted and said everything that's in transit oriented development west of the Green River would be eligible. So that's how those boundaries were determined. And I clarify, that is the existing ordinance that was adopted back in 2014, 2015, that we are simply allowing applications to come back in for South Center. It's not a change in what we in the boundaries that were already established.
Okay. I'm in favor of this going to the COW. And I like the three steps, and then a fourth step being an overall review. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, and this was discussed pretty thoroughly, thoroughly a couple weeks ago. And so it's good to see that we're moving forward. I'm really looking forward to see what happens in this area, and that hoping that this project is successful if it comes through. So I am in favor of this. And I forgot to look at the ask, and the ask is probably to move it to a regular meeting.
COW,
that's right, excuse me.
So we'll go to next Monday's COW.
Yeah, thank you. I see it's now written in red. I forgot to check that out. So yes, and thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Good, looks promising.
Okay.
All right. So now we'll go on to item B, which is traffic impact fees, and Laurel is going to present on this item.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, council members. You recently received an email from an individual who felt that the traffic impact fee assessed on an office tenant improvement was too high. So Council Member McLeod asked for council approval to add this to the committee agenda for further discussion. And what's in your packet starting on page 13 is a very simple memo followed by the actual code language itself along with the fee schedule and zone map. And just a quick reminder for you, traffic impact fees are assessed on development activity as a condition of approval, and they are intended to pay for transportation facilities needed to serve new growth. They can only be used for improvements that are reasonably related to the development, and they must be proportionate and fair. And the revenue from the fees is placed in a dedicated account that's for use only on projects that are identified with the fee calculations. And the code also outlines deferrals, exemptions, and a process for appeals. And my understanding is that the individual that wrote into the council about this did not file an appeal in this case. The current schedule is fairly recent, the fee schedule, that is. It was updated to take effect in 2020. And that update factored in the updated projects from the capital improvement program and project closeouts and then other current roadway needs. Prior to that update, there were no adjustments made since 2007, so it had been a while. That's a quick summary and background. I want you to know that our real subject matter experts are on the line if you have more technical questions. And with that introduction, I'll turn it back to the chair.
Okay, thank you, Laurel, and we're going to start questions with Tom, realizing that we have Cindy Knighton on the, if you have questions, we'll be asking her to answer them if appropriate.
Okay, so I have two or three questions I'll ask, and then I may want to ask a few more after others have a chance to speak. So I see that later in the package here you have a map of four zones. Can you answer this question? If impact fees, let me first ask, what do the impact fees pay for? Is it like sidewalks? Is it street, sewer, traffic lights. What exactly are we paying for when we collect those fees?
Okay, Cindy Knighton, Senior Program Manager, Transportation and Public Works. The traffic impact fees pay for capital improvement projects that increase vehicular capacity that allows for future development to provide the capacity that's needed for future development. Impact fees cannot be used to pay for any existing deficiencies. If we have areas that don't meet our current level of service standard, it can't be used under its current configuration for sidewalk projects, although if sidewalks are part of the larger project, then we can use them for that project. But under the existing stuff that we have today, it cannot be used for sidewalks. Sometimes it does include for traffic signals. It doesn't include for improvements to street lighting unless, again, it is a part or portion of a larger capital roadway capacity increasing project. Projects that are maintenance only or that are not adding additional capacity to support growth of development are not eligible to have impact fees collected for them or spent on.
So when we plan for growth in certain areas, you know, to build out infrastructure, how is the cost different from zone 1, 2, 3, or 4? I mean, if you're putting in sewer stuff or road improvements, isn't the cost no matter which zone you're in?
No, because we have to actually identify the specific project and the project cost. So, for example, a sewer-only project is not eligible for traffic impact fees. If we have to do some work on a sewer for that capacity-improving project, it can be part of that project. So when we first adopted our traffic impact fees in December of 2005, there had fairly recently been a lawsuit against, I think, City of Battleground. It was Southwest Washington, regarding the application of impact fees that are collected. And this city in general had just a general impact fee for the entire city. A developer sued and said, look, I'm on one end of the city and you're asking me to pay towards a project that's on the south end of the city. There is no reasonable nexus that my project is going to be benefiting from this project. So when we established our impact fee program, we set up these four zones, and we did some analysis based on how the travel patterns were and divvied it up. So a project that is developing in South Center area, which is Zone 1, is only going to pay for the project that we have to provide additional capacity in South Center. We're not collecting for everywhere in the city. A development up in the MIC area, that's Zone 4, same thing. They're not paying for any of the projects that we're doing in South Center. They're only paying for the projects that are improving the capacity in Zone 4. So while, yes, they have to pay for the impact, and an impact is an impact, we have different prices for impact fees, if you will, the actual need that we have identified by zone. So Zone 1 is going to have different needs Zone 3, then Zone 2,
etc. And I didn't see in here, like, how do our impact fees compare with other cities?
I haven't done a comparison in a few years, but when we updated our impact fees in 2020, we were somewhat in the middle, maybe middle on the high end, but we weren't any outlier. Prior to that increase that we had done, we were way at the bottom.
Okay. I'll yield back at this time. I think I have more questions, but let me keep the conversation going.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Verna?
Thank you. So I'm looking at the, I am looking at page 17 in our packet, in the use of impact fees. So traffic impact fees will be used but not limited to, so they can be used for land acquisition, right? Site improvement, engineering, permitting, financing, administrative expenses. And we can even use it to pay principal on bonds. Is that correct?
I don't think we can use it to pay principal on bonds, but we can use it to pay for any land acquisition that, again, is necessary for a project that is increasing vehicular capacity.
Okay. Okay.
As far as bond proceeds, it doesn't apply to that.
Verna, to your point, number or letter F.
Yeah. That's what it says. In the event bonds or similar instruments are or have been issued for a system, if they're issued for the system improvements, then the traffic impact fees may be used to pay the principal. So in that circumstance, yes, that's what I was talking about. Okay.
In just general math.
So then my next question is, Laurel had said that, of course, and I'm looking now on page 9, on 9.48.120, appeals. So an applicant can appeal, and it's my understanding that the person that we're talking about did not appeal. Do you believe that the applicant understands the appeal process, but just chose not to appeal? Okay.
An engineer that they were working with provided very explicit steps. I think we provided a link to the TMC. They were very responsive to all questions on how to do this. The last question that I personally saw come in asked if there was a form, and there isn't. It's simply a letter that is directed to the Director of Public Works.
Okay. I'll yield back for right now, but I probably have more questions or more comments. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. So traffic impact fees can be appealed by letter, typically, right? The last time that we updated the traffic impact fees was 2020, so last year. And now, because I know that the city was going through this process of trying to standardize things, so when do you think the next update is going to be? Is there like a schedule or something that you've made now? What is it? And if so, what it is?
We can, by our own code, update our impact fee schedule once every calendar year. We do have that a provision. We haven't always taken advantage of it. And once we have the any updates to a budget, I definitely like to go through and make sure that the CIP members, the grant monies, and just make sure all of that is matching, because we do have to take off any grants and any other income as part of developing how much we have to collect by impact fee. I may not get something forward to council this year. It may be very early next year, but we are going to be updating our transportation element. This is something that we are required to do on a regular basis. And as part of that, we are definitely going to be relooking at our impact fee program. State law has been changed from when we established our current impact fee program and the TMC 9.48. So there are some provisions to allow us to start collecting impact fees for multimodal projects that is not just vehicular capacity projects. We've been emphasizing vehicular capacity because that's what we have today. Hopefully, we'll be able to bring in some of that multimodal, so council members and clouds, we may be able to collect impact fees for just sidewalk projects in the future. But it is all going to be tied to a capacity. It isn't going to be just a general. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. So I do expect in the next year to 18 months, I will be bringing something back forward for the full council to consider on a brand new way of calculating impact fees. Short answer, we can update them, update our numbers, make sure we're collecting the right amount, we've got the right project costs involved, up to once every year. And then once every, typically 8 years, we go and do an update to our transportation element. And that's where we can do a more holistic evaluation of not only the projects that are needed, but also are we still meeting the current state laws, because they do change on how our impact fee program can work.
Thank you, Dean. Tom, we're going to go around again.
Okay. So the applicant sent the council an email to which Council President Crowder responded to, and they said in their email that they were charged over $47,000 in impact fees. It was my understanding this is a tenant improvement. So what is the growth we're talking about when we say we want to cover growth with impact fees if they're just renovating the inside of the building and X number of people used the building before, now it's a new business there, and the same X number of people will be using it again. What's the growth we're talking about?
In this case, this is where we get into, you know, a little definitely more of the nuances. Within the impact fee, the 9.48, and I am trying to find exactly which code section it refers to. I may not be able to find this quite on the fly. We do state that any development that comes in and is going to be occupying a building or a site that has been vacant for more than 12 months doesn't get any trip credit from the previous use. And so we did ask, as part of the normal development review process, when was this portion of this building last used? So the current owner purchased this building in 2017, and this area or this portion of the building was vacant prior to the purchase of 2017. So they definitely met the no trip credits being granted because of the vacancy issue that is part of our code. The thought behind that is that up to once a year, we can do a little short analysis on where are we at as far as our road capacity. And this is called a concurrency monitoring. And this is where the concurrency and the traffic impact fees kind of intersect. And I recognize that they're separate, but they're kind of interrelated at the same time. So part of the impact fees is that we are collecting to pay for projects to improve the capacity based on what we know is out there today and the development that is coming. So that pays for that vehicular project. The concurrency is what tests to say, do we have that adequate capacity? So when we're doing our annual concurrency report, we're taking a snapshot. Where is our level of service? Where are we at in meeting our own code, the stuff that's come out of the transportation element? So because we can do that annually, we have set that 12-month period for a vacancy with the thought process behind that saying, if you were vacant for more than 12 months, we haven't captured the trips that were related to your development so that we can then do that snapshot and make sure we have adequate capacity. Had this site not been vacant, or had this site not been doing what we consider a change of use, this is an office building, and the change of use was to bring in a medical use, and that is considered a change of use. Had it been office to office, this may not have been the same issue. We ran into something similar where it was an existing site that had been a restaurant, didn't meet the vacancy, but because they were coming in with another restaurant, we didn't apply this. So this was a change of use. So there is a vacancy and there is a change of use test that we will apply on this.
Does our code consider that we're in COVID and it's hard to attract businesses right now? It doesn't, does it? And then we don't arbitrarily factor that in either. I mean, the email that we got says the building's 55% vacant currently. And I'm just wondering, obviously when we wrote the code, we didn't know about COVID. But in a climate where some businesses are closing and it's harder to attract business right now, and we want to attract businesses right now, you know, is there a factor there that we could consider or we would want to consider? That's a question I have. I don't know the answer or who would have that answer, but I just have that question.
Decision that the council would ask staff to come back with some options. We have done something similar to that, the one during the Great Recession. And if it's the council's desire, we certainly can come back forward with something similar or something that would accomplish the same thing. But that is absolutely a council policy decision.
Okay, I yield back.
Okay. Verna, do you have any other questions? Okay, questions.
I think I have a comment
period, so questions.
Well, the exemptions are in 9.48.125 at the bottom of page 9, which is basically where it says change of use. That's where that lives. So, you know, we've worked really hard on these impact fees, and we worked really hard in 2020 to update the impact fees. And where I am sympathetic to the lease situation, we have an appeal process. And why they haven't taken advantage of that appeal process, I don't know. So my personal feeling is, and Tom, I totally get what you're saying. I totally understand. But to me, this is reminding me of a conversation years and years and years and years ago when we had the big conversations, and it was during the recession, about it was a zoning issue, I think. And we had somebody that was asking us to tweak the zoning, but you know, we were reminded we can't do spot zoning. You can't just do one thing for one person. And to me, I would encourage the applicant to go through the appeal process, because then, you know, kicks in, here's the appeal. It goes, you know, it really spells it out. Determinations, public works director, designee, you know, 10 days. I mean, there's a process for that. So, you know, I am very sympathetic to this, and I completely understand, but rather, you know, for me, rather than having the council reopen the whole discussion on the impact fees, which we just did, I would like to encourage the applicant to go through the appeals process. You know, if it goes to the appeals process and we still see that there's a big issue, then maybe, you know, the council can then talk about the policy things. Or maybe because of the pandemic, you know, the council would choose to kind of look at what can we do? We're trying to attract businesses. This does fall into economic development. You know, Tom, you were saying it's like, okay, it's going from an office use to a dental clinic. Well, I think there's going to be much more traffic coming in and out in a dental clinic than there was with an office full of engineers that go to work and then they go home. I mean, maybe they'd have a client come in or not, but you are having, if we're talking, you know, roads and what traffic impact fees are for, that's cars driving over the road. To me, it fits. But then again, I am not an expert. But that's just kind of where I'm feeling right now. I mean, I would like to encourage the applicant to appeal and then see what happens after that. That's kind of where I'm sitting right now. Thanks.
Yeah, Tom.
Is the window to appeal still open? I kind of had the impression it was closed.
No, it is closed.
So they can't appeal at this point. Okay.
And the development engineering staff had encouraged them, and they were questioning even before they got to this point, saying if you wish to provide us a different trip generation information so that we can modify the traffic impact fee based on actual trip generation versus the more generic one that we were applying, they had every opportunity to do that. And again, did not provide that information. That would have been information that would have been provided in the appeal as well. And I don't know if that factored into why this applicant has decided not to go through the formal appeal process. But this happens regularly. I have people come in and say my trip generation is different than what you have on your schedule, and I'm like, get me a memo that shows where you're at, and we go through it. It's not an uncommon practice.
And do you sometimes change then the impact fees based on the info they give?
Absolutely.
But how much do they got to pay for that study?
I haven't worked in consulting in 30 years or so I don't really know, but I can't imagine it's more than probably $5,000 at the most. It certainly could have saved them some money, but again, I didn't calculate. It's not my role to calculate a change in trip generation.
Okay. My thoughts go beyond this project. And, you know, this is a property that kind of, I think, buds up to the pond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I'm just thinking of working relationships as if we want to develop the pond later and partnerships that we would want to lean on. So this is kind of my thoughts.
Okay. I will then say what I'm thinking. This is a little more difficult than what I was going to say before, and that is that the appeal process should be used, but since that appeal process has closed, that makes it a harder statement. But at the same time, the applicant did have an opportunity to appeal, and that was lined out for them, and they chose not to do that. They chose to go a different route that would then affect staff time and like just a lot of work rather than just sending us an appeal letter, which you indicated to them. So I would say that moving forward, because they do have properties, that they should be very aware of that appeal process. And instead, you know, you could say, this is COVID. This is the time maybe to do something different. And then if you don't get the answer you like, then go to the council and say something. But I do think that the appeal process should be used first, and especially since it was talked about. This just might be a case where those impact fees need to be paid. And then moving forward in the future, use that appeal process, and if you don't like what you get from that, then come talk to the council. So those are my thoughts.
Kathy. Yeah, and I don't know why they didn't use the appeal process. I mean, it's in there and it was offered, and I guess I am very sympathetic to what's going on. But if I was a person doing a development and I knew there was an appeal process, I don't know why I wouldn't. And again, they have developed previously in Tukwila, so they are aware of the impact fees. When they did, you know, the Hotel Erna Urban, I remember having a lot of conversations about impact fees with that project. So that's why I was a little surprised when I heard that they didn't do the appeal process, because it's not like this is a brand new developer coming in and developing. But then again, I do understand the importance of maintaining our relationships with our developers, because, you know, you're right, where this is, we would like to redevelop that area and we want to have that. So this is one of those hard rocks, right? There's the big rocks and the little rocks, and this is a hard one because, you know, and I remember Councilmember Robertson said to me years ago, there's always, you know, land use issues are hard because there's always one up, one down. Not everybody's going to be happy. But, you know, right now we have a process. This process is here, and they chose not to follow the process, but yet came to us and then wanted us, not an exception maybe, but a different way of looking at it. So I don't know. I wrestle with this one. This is a tough one. I would love to say, but I don't. Okay, here's the other thing. What can we do really to deal with this? Because we can't just treat this on its own. If we're going to do a change, we have to reopen the whole thing. We are right. We have to look at concurrency, and then we have to look at the impact fees. So, and like Kathy said, that takes a lot of staff time. So that's just my rambling thoughts, and I'll yield back right now before I just keep going.
Cindy, one last question. Do you know the cost of the remodel project or the tenant improvements? I thought I heard $200,000 or $300,000.
Let me see if that was on one of the emails that I had opened up.
And is there more than one way to calculate impact fees, or is it always the same every time?
It's it's basically based on your net new trip generation times whatever that cost per trip is. It's very straightforward. And the table that we use has done a lot of the math so that people don't have to do that actual trip generation calculation, but we say you've got one house, you do it by one, and we've done that back calculation.
And do we have something in that equation if the building's vacant? Like the email says they were 55% vacant.
Well, a trip generation is based on whatever the trip is. And if there was something that had been there, then we will calculate the trips that would have been generated by that previous use, and we will give a trip credit. And so say a site had 8 trips being generated, the net new was 10, and so, or the new would be 10, and we would give credit for 8, and we would only charge them for the 2 new trips that were being generated that would impact our system. So we definitely can give credit and do give credit for existing uses. It's not as simple based on looking at the table, but that's where my role or anybody else with some traffic engineering chops can come in and figure that out. It's not rocket science, but unless you're doing traffic stuff, it may not be as obvious, but it's a very simple process to do that. I am not seeing anything that tells me what the overall cost was of this development. So I'm sorry, I don't have that information.
Okay. Well, if what I heard, 200 or 300, let's just say 300,000, is 47,000 of impact fees a lot on a $250,000 to $300,000 project?
It's a fairly high percentage. There were other fees that were assessed of this. There were fire impact fees of 54,000, park impact fees of 65,000. That might have been a different year. So, sorry, let me look at the, let me consider the swap rate. Other fees here, and I don't have access to the actual program, so I'm reliant on screenshots. So, but there definitely are other costs and permit fees, other impact fees that have to be paid, particularly park and fire. And I can't access what that was assessed on that one, so I do apologize. But we can get that information to you if you wish for further info.
I'd be curious, maybe you could send it in an email if you want. You know, what are our neighboring cities charging? And then that'll actually do a lot of digging on this. So I hope it's just easy questions and answers. And what's the overall project on? You know, what's the cost of the project?
I think we can work with the permitting staff and come up with what the project cost was to get information on what other agencies will take me some time to do that research, but I certainly can.
Well, high level is fine, so it doesn't take as long.
Colin has his hand up.
Thank you. On the question of other agencies, Cindy had prepared a really comprehensive study around the time that the current ordinance was developed, and that's linked from your memo tonight. That analysis was done 2 years ago, roughly at this time. Is that current enough?
Okay. Yeah, that's current enough. You say that's in my. Where
so
is that?
The info memo in your packet tonight linked back to the info memos regarding the current ordinance.
Okay, I'll try to look that up.
I'm happy to help offline. Yeah.
Okay. And then Cindy, maybe an email that says the total cost of the project. That should be pretty easy, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I'll work with permit staff and have them pull all that information for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I do appreciate that when we make a policy, a chance to revisit it and see if we've got the outcome we wanted. So thank you for walking through this one.
So are we, Tom, because you're the one who brought this up, do you have your
questions answered, and
two things. One, I'm enjoying watching you not know what to do with this, and two, I'd like to see her emails, so I don't know, maybe I would come back and say, can we talk about it one more time, but maybe not. So can she send an email, and then if there's any follow, maybe I can even do it just independently or something, then it'd be a community or a committee thing.
Yes. Well, I do have a suggestion. I was waiting for, like, all the conversation out. And that is that there's a process that was not used here, and we all appreciate the leads, but at the same time, those processes are there for a reason. And what I'm thinking is the fact that were we to revisit this right now, it would cost thousands of dollars for the city in staff time and resources to do that. It just doesn't make any sense this soon to do that. On the other hand, Tom, I think you've brought up, and Ms. Lee brings up some good things that we should probably start looking at. But the ship has sailed, as we like to say on the council, for this one. And so I would say moving forward, I don't know. I'm looking at the email. Maybe there's other, it says office tenant improvement. I don't know if there's other units there, but I would really encourage the Lees to appeal because of all the reasons that you talked about, COVID and all those kinds of things. And I think there would be support in that rather than trying to make a universal change over all the whole system. So,
but they can't appeal. The window closed.
And so I might have missed saying this. Moving forward. That is what I meant. Sorry about that. Moving forward, if there's other office space in here that to use the appeal process, and then if that doesn't work out to their satisfaction, then to come to us. So that's my thought. So at this point, just to get right to the point, I would say this is good information, and that at this point, $47,000 might seem like a lot, but it's we would be spending thousands of dollars at the city to do to mitigate this. So just leave knowing that $47,000 we would hopefully put to very good use. And that's really have to help leave it. And actually my last comment, which I say a lot, is that politics is the art of compromise. Sometimes we all don't get what we want, but that we're all trying to work this all out together, and maybe it's not perfect for anybody, but we come to some sort of agreement or some sort of plan. So thank you. And there's a hand up, Verna.
Yeah, just one more thought. Maybe this is something, and it's kind of a broader topic, right? Economic development, times of COVID. Maybe as the council works through issues next year, maybe it could be a retreat topic, I don't know. But Tom, you do make really valid points, and I don't want those to be lost. So maybe the council can choose to look at, like, okay, for example, taking taking impact fees and concurrency in times of COVID, and what can we do, that kind of a thing. So that's something, you know, my guess is you'll be council president next year, Mr. McLeod. And so, you know, and that's what I'm just saying, that maybe, you know, this would be a full council discussion at that point. But I think that Kathy, you summed it up perfectly, but I am totally sympathetic to it, but I think this is the best that we can do. I'm just really sorry that they didn't take advantage of the appeal process. So
there's probably two things we could look at. One, how we grandfather them in. And then two, it's the time of COVID. Why aren't we thinking out of the box and being creative? Here's a quote that I heard. I own 10 buildings in the city. 6 of them are empty. I'm having no impact on the city. And yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could look at that. But at the same time, COVID has really wreaked havoc in the business community. And I think we want to find ourselves in a space that attracts business. Mm-hmm. Versus giving them a reason to look somewhere else.
Right. And one could say the same about our budget. COVID has wreaked havoc on our budget. We need that $47,000. Anyway, I'll mute my mic now. Kathy, you're in charge.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for this discussion. And it does bring up some things for us to look at. Future council, probably future council president-elect based on the vote that will happen the first Monday or first week of January. So, okay. So that was a great discussion. Thank you, everyone. And so we are on to our added item, which is the county health or housing item. And let's see. I don't know who's going to tee this up. I think it's Rachel, right? Yes, Rachel. There she is.
Yes, I'm back again, although my computer has lost its mind. So I'm on my phone, so I apologize for that. You know, for a few months now, we've been talking about the county's health housing program. Just a really quick high-level overview. You'll remember that the state legislature allowed for a 0.1% sales tax for housing for chronically homeless individuals. There's a very significant very specific definition of who are eligible to receive housing associated with these funds. Originally, the legislature did this for new construction. You all were just talking about COVID. With COVID and the realities that's going on with the economy and specifically with hotels in the region, the county did go last session to get the ability to use the funds for existing construction. The county's been working across the county to secure hotel properties for homeless, for these chronically homeless individuals for housing. They have a goal of about 1,600 units. They've been fairly successful to date. They've got sites in Renton. They have 5 sites in Seattle, a site in Redmond, Auburn, Federal Way. They're working with Bothell right now, as well as another Eastside city. The last we heard about this program, the county had indicated that they were no longer looking in Tukwila. So I recently received a call. Their goal is to achieve their 1,600-ish units, right, by the end of this year. So therefore, they are still in need of looking for another place. They would like to place a call to a property in Tukwila that meets the standards of what they're looking for. And just as a quick reminder on this, the properties that they need would be ones with interior entrances only, right? So you kind of think of the difference between a motel, right, which has an exterior entrance, or a hotel with an interior entrance. They're very specific in needing the interior entrances. They have identified a property that they would like to call and even see whether it is available for purchase. They have no idea whether or not this property owner would be interested in selling the property. The county has been a good partner in this effort, and we've been walking hand in hand through this process, right, as we determine whether or not the city of Tukwila would be a willing city. I would say, and the county waited until you all were okay with even initiating a broker to determine whether or not they would move forward with having any conversations. From the staff perspective, having them go ahead and make this call does not make the city of Tukwila a willing city. As we've talked in the past, it's hard to have these conversations in a vacuum with sort of playing this what-if game. And so staff recommendation is that we go ahead and tell the county, go ahead and make the call, right? Again, doesn't make the city of Tukwila a willing city, but let's determine whether this is an issue or not. So what I told the county staff is that I would come to committee, kind of get direction from you as to whether or not you were comfortable with the county making a call, and then we can determine next steps from there. I would say that if the owner is interested in selling to the county and is a willing seller, then we all need to regroup, right, and come up with a process to determine whether or not the city of Tukwila would qualify as a willing city. And just as a reminder, there are gates in the legislation that allowed the county to be able to repurpose the money for existing construction that requires them to work with cities. So they don't have the ability to just come in and purchase this property without the city, again, being a willing city. And I apologize for the pandemic puppy.
Thank you. Yeah, maybe your puppy, they can start like a...
I know. It's funny because Carl was outside and so both the dogs like busted in here. I call them my interlopers. Carl's back in. The dogs are back out. You know, I don't see any problem with it. I mean, it's a phone call. What's a phone call? To me, I'm perfectly comfortable with it. Now, if something goes down, then that's a whole story. We really have to look at it. Again, I appreciate the fact that the phone call does not make us a willing city, and there's lots of things that we need to look at, but I'm fine with it.
Thank you. Tom?
I'm okay with a phone call. I do wonder what has changed in their criteria to where before they said they had no longer interest here, and now they do have interest, and are they just trying to meet a quota because they said they would do this much, and now it looks good, so let's circle back around, or they really think this is a facility that could really help people move their life forward. I'm not so sure it meets some of the criteria that I heard about the first time around. So if they want to make a phone call, make a phone call.
Yes, and I agree with that logic that really, why spend any more time having further discussions until we even know if this is a possibility? So I agree with that. Make a phone call, and let's take it from there.
Thank you. I will report that to the county and then report back to you as soon as I have any further information. I appreciate the time and the willingness to amend the agenda for this item.
Welcome. All right. So I don't have any miscellaneous. Do my fellow council members have miscellaneous? Miscellaneous. All right.
Does Verna only have one more planning and community development meeting?
I think I do. You guys are going to miss me.
We will big time.
It will be boring without me, I'll just tell you. Somebody, you guys are going to have to keep things moving without
me.
You can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess I only have one more, yeah. Crazy. All right.
Okay, all right. Well, I will see you all at 7 o'clock virtually.
All righty, bye.
Thank you, staff. Thank you, council members.